The Island Garden Podcast has been brought to you by The Island Garden, located at 45 Cherry Valley Avenue, West Hempstead, New York. Long Island, enjoy three basketball courts with a new hardwood finish, with various camps, leagues, and the biggest AAU outfitter in the nation, the Long Island Lightning. For more information on how you can get on the court, contact Tom at islandgarden.com. Fight! Welcome to the first ever inaugural edition of the Island Garden Podcast. I'm your host, Ralph the Ref, from Referee Rant. Also work closely with the owner and operator of Island Garden, as well as Lightning Basketball, Jim Fox. Shout out to him. We're going to use this as an opportunity to just talk about the inner workings, the happenings, and all the events and all the great things that happen at Island Garden, which is located in West Hempstead. My first guest today is the son of Jim Fox, Jimmy Fox Jr., who is also a former coach at Appalachian State, also an assistant coach at Davidson College, has a wealth of knowledge, also a St. Dom's graduate. Let me know if I'm incorrect in anything that I'm saying, but we have been fortunate over the past couple of months that he has fortified the Lightning brand and has been able to bring his wealth of knowledge and spread it and proliferate amongst the Lightning brand. Welcome to the show, man. How are
Thanks,
you?
Thanks, Ralph. Thank you. Thanks. Great to be here. Thanks for having me. You got everything right except the St. Dom's grad. I coached St. Dom's, but Chaminade grad.
Oh, you went to Chaminade?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
so you're like that? My sworn enemy then.
I know. It's don't worry. As much as I love the old place, I'm a man of the people now. Mm. So I try and get out there and, get amongst everyone.
Yeah, that's really good, man. So you've been here for a couple of months now, I'd say like the top of the year, and it's a big departure probably from the collegiate level of coaching, but I do know how much this place means to you. I know how much this means to your family, and it's really good to just see your face out here and to make sure that, we try to fortify the brand as much as possible. What's it like been coming home and working with the Lightning brand?
Well, it's been awesome. It's great to see, I was in the Island Garden when it first opened. And it's amazing to see all the improvements that have been made. It's great to see some familiar faces. And also, it's cool to meet so many new ones. And, with Lightning, I was the first Lightning coach back in the day. And it's amazing how much Lightning has grown to what it is. It's amazing how much, the Island Garden has grown to where we now run a couple of buildings. And it's, the game is different from when I first started coaching AAU, but it's just great to see so many people on Long Island playing basketball.
Yeah, let's go back to January 2021. It was a weird time only because high-risk sports at the time weren't really open. The only thing that we could do in this building was to do camps, and I think that was the first time I met you, and I know we had our famous run-in where I had the drone and all the kids were like, what is going on? It probably distracted you from a coach's perspective, but what was that like just coming in and then doing your clinics at the time, because it must have been weird because the protocols were set and we were still trying to get back. That must have been like a weird thing for you to experience.
Yeah, oh, for sure. The kids want to play games. So they were coming in, and we actually in August, I guess 2020 was it? These kids just, they come in, they want to play. Can we play games? And we really were not allowed to.
Right.
So you had to stick with clinics. You ran a lot of camps. You had to limit the amount of people that could be on a court. And, but the one thing we heard from so many parents and so many players is just great to be back. And, I think it was so important to get kids playing sports again. And, it was definitely interesting that they weren't letting kids play indoor sports. Mm. But, there was really nothing we could do about that. We just had to go with the flow and say, how can we make this work? How can we get kids back on the court? And it was amazing because the numbers we had was sensational. And, we were, again, limited by the amount of people on a court. But, it was just great to see so many people playing basketball again. And, then all of a sudden we had that big high school tournament when we were allowed to play. And it felt like, sooner or later it's going to get back to normal and people could just enjoy playing the sport they love so much.
Yeah, and, I always wanted to ask you with that tournament, outside looking in, because I was really heavily involved and I know that you were in and out just watching everything. I thought it was really crazy of how we were able to pull it off, especially at that time, because we just weren't sure where the pandemic was going, and we weren't really sure of if we were going to really pull it off. So, you know, it's kind of like, it sounded good in theory, but it really went off without a hitch. But what was it like just outside looking in, watching that tournament, and how it was just a successful event that all of these high school kids from New York State were able to play basketball?
Yeah, that was the biggest thing, because you were nervous. You know, it was like, is this going to work? You know, is this, are we doing the right thing? Are we going to do it the right way? And what they did was incredible. You know, we had to clear the gym out. And luckily, we had a nice day, a couple of nice days where the people would go outside.
Right.
We, you know, spray the gym, clean it, and let people back in. And I think that gave people a sense of ease. And they, you know, they felt good. You know, they were wearing masks, but they, you know, they were socially distant. But they came back in, and, you know, all of a sudden they were watching high-level basketball. And the thing that was cool, and you probably remember this more than I do, I just know that the two teams that played in the championship, many people came up to me and said these would probably have been the two teams that made it to the state championship.
Very true.
To play. You know, and so I thought that was really cool. And it was great to see, you know, high-level basketball being played at the Island Garden again after such a long layoff. And, you know, it went off through the hard work of the people that ran it. The New York High School Madness people, they did an incredible job, and it went off without a hitch. And, you know, that kind of got everything going again. Said, yeah, we can do this. We got to take precautions. We got to make people feel safe when they enter the building. But when you do that successfully, you know, it you can get basketball back.
Yeah, and I would be remiss if I didn't shout out some of those people that were involved in that tournament. Nick Sakitas, obviously the head honcho of Heat Elite. Also Isaiah Wilson, who was also on the ground. I felt like we were scrambling the whole time, but, you know, luckily.
Plus, Isaiah took like a day off to go to the beach or something like that, right in the middle of the tournament. I didn't know what the hell he was thinking, you know.
But nonetheless, we were very thankful, because I really think that it kind of reignited this place, and it just reignited sports in general. I feel like it opened up the floodgates for everyone to feel okay with interscholastic sports to come back. But, you know, I want to go backtrack about just the pandemic. I know that your identity as a coach is such a big part of your life. And I feel as though the pandemic really put us all, you know, not just you, me as well, just put a pause on everything that you normally were so used to. And, you know, I think at that time, we were all just blindly just so busy, and we just kind of compartmentalized all of that, as opposed to spending time with your family, spending time with the people that you love, you know, just chilling out, because we're such go-getters. That must have been a jarring experience for you during the pandemic. So just walk through what it was like to just, I guess, not necessarily not have responsibilities, but just know that we don't know what's going to happen next. And it happened for such a long time, for a very, you know, I'd say for a good duration. We didn't even know if basketball was going to happen. I mean, there was rims, for God's sake, that was down. And this place had a padlock over here.
Yeah, insanity. But, you know, you have to, the big thing is you're sitting there, and the worst thing you can do is sit on the couch. So you try and figure out what could we do, you know, especially in the coaching profession, you know, what can you do to get better while you're limited in what you can do, if that makes sense. You know, we were able to do those, you know, everyone got on Zoom. And so we were able to provide all our coaches with Zoom clinics. And, you know, we had Bob McKillop, we had Joe Mahalik, we had Brad Stevens, you know, we had all these, Jimmy Ferry, you know, we had all these incredible coaches come on for about an hour and talk to our coaches. And that was the big thing, you know, you tried to do. You just tried to stay as busy as you could, you know, because, you know, when you're in that, we were in that lockdown mode, you know, you can't, you know, for the first couple of days, you're like, all right, this is cool. I could watch Netflix. I could watch, you know, different shows.
Yeah, first 2 weeks, it's fine.
Yeah, first 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, my God, what am I going to do today?
This is forever.
You know, and so, you spend a lot of time outside, which I thought was cool. But, you know, it was tough, and you really have to discipline yourself to, you know, how can I get better in whatever I do? If I'm a player, how can I get better? And if I'm a coach, how could I, you know, improve my knowledge? And, you know, and I'm sure if people are running businesses, is how can I, you know, stay alive in terms of my business? How can my business survive during this time? So I think once people got on that track, it did, is you know, as terrible as the situation was and as much, you know, pain as there was for people, you know, it did. Once you got around people again, it made life, you know, so much better and easier. And, you know, once you took that first trip to the beach and you know, you could hang out outside, be with people, it certainly made it better. But it was definitely a tough time and for everybody. And, you know, as long as I just did try to do my best to stay busy and, you know, and try and do as many things as possible so you don't waste days.
Yeah. And we continue to implore everyone to continuously stay safe because we're still in the throes of the pandemic. And hopefully it seems like it just has to run its course and then eventually it'll just end. But just talking about that technology piece, you just did mention that you were on Zoom a lot. I know that we had to lean on technology because we realized how much we love basketball. Even though we weren't on the court, we were figuring things out of how we could still stay connected to coaches, to players, to different machinations of things that we weren't used to. I remember when the bubble happened, and I remember they had like four games in a row, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock. That was like the only thing that was going at the time. And it was amazing because we were just so brimming with, we just wanted to see some sort of basketball. That technology piece, do you feel as though it is helped, I guess, the industry of basketball now knowing that we don't have to do in-person meetings and we can just be as effective in Zoom? Does that feel like more of a thing in the toolbox of a coach that now we can use these technologies as opposed to how it used to before? Do you think it was a positive change?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, in terms of coaches, they're always looking for an advantage. You know, and obviously technology every couple of months will provide different advantages to you. And you have to you have to be able to use that and make your program, make your team, you know, again, make your knowledge better. And I think, you know, using that technology, I mean, the Zoom clinics that you had and just being able to talk to some of these great coaches and these coaches, you know, would answer any question you want. So you know, if there was no, you know, if you didn't go through this, you know, many people wouldn't be able to ask Brad Stevens questions or ask Bob McKillop questions.
Because they would normally be unavailable,
right,
as well.
Yeah. They're busy, yeah. You know. So this was an opportunity for, and basketball, as a community, it wasn't always like this, but, you know, people really share a lot as in the basketball world. You know, there's always going to be that 007 mentality. You want to, you know, you don't want to give away everything, but I think more people have become at ease with sharing different ideas to how to help programs, teams grow. And I think the pandemic really showed that. You know, you could be on a Zoom call, basketball clinic from 10 to 11, from 12 to 1, from 2 to 3, and then 5 to 6, you know, so it was, you know, it was really an opportunity if you took advantage of it. And then you also had opportunities for players. You know, they were, hey, what can I do at my house? What can I do in my driveway? What can I do, you know, to get better during this time? And, you know, the people that really wanted it, whatever sport you played, whether it be baseball, lacrosse, basketball, football, I mean, you found ways to stay involved in your sport. And, you know, I think that was a cool thing to see from the athletic standpoint. The coaching standpoint of different things.
Just like as you mentioned, I felt like it was a deep revival of the outdoor, outside your backyard basketball court where, you know, people are always trying to find indoor gyms, but at that time, that was such an invaluable commodity. Going into the summer, I want to say when vaccines started becoming prevalent and then the mask mandates got uplifted, we had a event. It was the New York High School Madness Camp that you ran, as well as Coach Matheny and Coach Neshi, which was a great event. It was a lot of high-level basketball players that were really trying to go through the steps of trying to figure out, you know, what's the best way to get recruited, what's the best way to get shown, what's the best way to attack a practice. I thought it was such an invaluable experience for a lot of those campers that basically attended. What was your experience running that camp?
Well, it was a blast. It was good to be back in the gym with, you know, high-level players like that. And it's a tough situation for the high school guys and girls now because, you know, so many college players are given an extra year. And so many college coaches are not recruiting high school players like they would, you know, a couple of years ago, right before, you know, 2018, 2019. So it's because obviously every college coach wants to have the oldest team possible. And so now you're getting free transfers. Now you're getting guys to stay another year. So as a coach, as a college coach, you're like, hey, man, I want to be old. You know, I want to have the oldest, most veteran team possible. That's going to help me win games. And for the high school guys, it kind of leaves them out in the cold a little bit. But it was a really good experience. And obviously having Matt Matheny up here, Joe Neshi, Tim Sweeney came down from Connecticut College, and Kevin Carpenter. We kind of bought it. You know, had all different Isaiah Wilson. We had all these guys from different organizations contribute to help, and I think that was really cool because, you know, not so much me. When I was a high school kid, you know, basketball was good on Long Island, but then you go back to some of the people, from the 70s and 80s where, you know, if you were the eighth man on a team, you were probably going Division I on Long Island. And it was a basketball kind of mecca. And, you know, it's not like that anymore. It was good to see high-level talent. It was good to have college coaches in the gym. And it was good to build relationships because as somebody who is a former college coach, you know, you want to do anything you can. If a guy is committed, if a guy works hard and is a good person, you want to do anything you can to help them. And I think that really allowed us to get introduced to some of these players and do anything we can to build a relationship with them and then help them achieve their dreams, which was, you know, for these guys, was playing college basketball.
Mm. Now, after that, I know that just from the assigning perspective, you could see that things were starting to get back to normal. And week in, week out, and on the weekends, we would have these tournaments over here. And it seems as though everything was safe and there wasn't really that much of an issue. What was it like being on the ground here this summer?
No, it was. And, you know, every day was, you know, you want to make sure that you're still following precautions. You're still letting your coaches and the people who come in the building, safety is the top priority. And, if everyone joined in and worked together to help us keep safety as that top priority, we'd be able to keep the doors open and we'd be able to, let kids play basketball. And so there's always that a little bit of apprehension, our coaches, you know, we didn't really have, thank God, a situation where there was a quote unquote outbreak or anything like that. People were good and they were in constant contact with Karen here who runs, you know, helps run this facility. And luckily for us, knock on wood, it the summer went off without a hitch. And it just gave us the confidence that the policies we have in place here at Island Garden or at Northport or anywhere else are working. Mm. And as long as we keep kids safe and coaches safe and spectators safe, people will be playing basketball at the Island Garden for a long time.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to keep it safe. And I'll say just being here on the ground, I feel completely safe. There's hand sanitizer stations. There's people that are wiping down the balls at times. So it just always seems as though, and you could feel the ventilation. You could feel the air conditioning and you feel the oscillating with the fans. So, you know, anyone that wants to rent this place out or want to play in a league, rest assured you will be safe in this building.
It's all new. It's been all redone. It's been all renovated. The floors are all done over. It looks great. It doesn't smell great yet. You still got that polyurethane smell, but that's eventually going to go away. But the place looks spectacular, and it's again, it's good to hear squeaking feet and balls bouncing back. We closed for 2 weeks to redo all this, but they put a lot of work into this place, and it looks sensational.
Yeah, and you know, just thinking about this, obviously we're trying to fortify our brand by revamping this place and also getting a couple of courts on the way. You did mention that we have Northport under our belt now. That's in the Island Garden wheelhouse. On top of the MAC, which is the Mitchell Athletic Complex, not too far from here. That's also going to be three courts on a field house and also an existing court with, I believe there's going to be turf. How excited are you to have all of those different things under the Island Garden brand?
It's awesome. I think it's, it shows we're providing venues for kids to play. And, Long Island has such an incredible basketball history. And, it's you look at the young kids playing, they're good, man. These kids are good. And, you want to give everyone a chance to play in very competitive leagues. And I think that what, my father and his team are doing has been, the amount of time they worked throughout this pandemic to keep everything going. And the beauty is like you said, when that New York Madness event happened, you know, they were prepared and ready, and they did not hit the ground walking. Mm. They were in a they were in a full sprint. And, you know, I don't really imagine my father sprinting too much anymore. But, you know, they really did a sensational job, you know, worked countless hours and, you know, had some tough days. But, you know, it's the amount of hard work that went in, you know, times like this where everything seems to be going well with, like you said, the Mack at Mitchell Field, Northsport, you know, where those guys out there are doing a sensational job and, you know, and many other things to come. You know, I just think Long Island basketball is in a good spot, and hopefully, you know, from a selfish standpoint, the level of play continues to rise, and you know, you bring it back to the, you know, you don't necessarily have to get back to the glory days of the 70s and 80s, but it'd be nice to get it back up there.
Yeah, definitely. And shout out to your father, Jim Fox, who, you know, I had preliminary discussions with him I'd say about a year ago about this Mitchell Field complex. And, you know, just it's amazing to attend the press conference and to see that it really went through fruition. And, you know, even just going back to the New York High School Madness tournament, like I said, it was just kind of like a thought. There's one thing to think about something and project that that's what you want to happen. But there's another thing to, you know, put your boots on and really make it happen. And my final thing that I wanted to speak to you about, you know, we're taping this on September 24th on Friday, and it will probably be published today. But next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, September 28th, 29th, from 6 to 9 p.m., Jim Fox Elite Basketball Camps is going to have another camp, which is very worthwhile for the kids. And you're going to have the band back together. Coach Matheny, Coach Neshi, and Coach Sweeney will all be in attendance. Just talk a little bit about that event and what should we expect and how could they register?
Yeah, no, my old boss, Bob McKillop, a Long Island guy, Chaminade guy, you know, when I told him what we were doing, he said, you know, back in the day, you know, I started doing these top 60, top 100 camps at Long Island Lutheran when he was the headmaster and head coach at Long Island Lutheran. And he said, why don't you get that going again? And, you know, and as we talked a little bit about it, you know, he said, you know, we talked more and said, man, that's a great idea. And I talked to Matt, you know, get him up here, play some golf and, you know, coach some basketball. Same thing with Tim Sweeney. You know, obviously Tim, you can't take him golfing because he's atrocious, but you know, he does a great job on the court. So we decided to do this for the 6th, 7th, and 8th and 9th grade group. And what it is, I think, you know, you see so many people, everyone's a trainer now. And, you know, we're fortunate with like, you know, the guys at Mecca who we're affiliated with I watch them. They do an incredible job. You know, Chris and his team here at Crown do an incredible job of teaching basketball the right way. But, you know, it's also important to, you know, for people with a lot of experience like myself, Matt, Tim, Coach Neshi, to get together and try and give guys a feel for what it's like, you know, at the highest level, at that Division I level, and you know, and kind of put them through drills that, you know, it's pretty cool to say, like, hey, because, you know, me and Matt and Tim are Davidson guys, hey, these are the same drills that Steph Curry did, you know, in you know, 2007, 2008, 2009, and, you know, we changed them a little bit, but you know, these are the same drills that are done. And, you know, and at Davidson, Coach McKillop's so focused on getting his players better and, you know, as individuals, and then that will help the team in the long run. So that's what we're focused on. We're focused on coaching these guys hard, giving them an opportunity to feel what it's like, you know, at a college practice, at a high-level practice. And I think it's an incredible opportunity, and I hope people would take advantage of it. As I said, the top 60 for the high school guys sold out. I think it was beneficial. We got guys college looks, which is what we want to do. Obviously, we're not doing that for the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, even though I'm sure people want their kids, you know, look at their kids in 7th grade and say he's going to play for Kentucky. But, you know, this is going to give them an opportunity to play basketball, to get coached by, you know, good coaches, but also to compete against guys who are pretty darn good. You know, some of the better players in their age group are going to be here. And, you know, as a competitor, that's all you want.
Yeah, you always want to pit yourself to the guest, with the best. And you were also opening it up to the 9th grade, right?
Yeah, you know, we had. I was here the other day, and a couple of 9th grade kids who have been in our clinic said, "Hey, I know you guys are doing a lot of drills. I know you're doing a lot of practices. You know, practice drills. Can the 9th graders come too? Because obviously, there's a big difference between the 6th grader. If you're a 6th grader and you're a 9th grader, but you know, we figured we talked about it. We said, "Hey, we can separate these guys." you know, on one court, and then you put the ninth graders on another court. And the biggest thing we don't want is we don't want too many kids. So we have the amount of high-level coaches we have and the amount of players. We try and keep it to an 8-1-8, or is it 8-1 ratio, and, you know, 8 players for every coach. So that way there could be that individual attention, even though you're in a team concept. So, so ninth graders are in. A couple of people asked. We said, why not? Kids want to get better. Let's bring them in. So we're looking forward to next week, and it's a great opportunity to show off, you know, what the place looks like now. All the renovations done, all the painting done, and I'm sure people will love getting in here.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful thing. It's going to be next week, and you know, Coach Fox and his staff, which is going to be comprised of, you know, the band back together, Coach Matheny, Coach Neshi, Coach Sweeney. Everyone's going to be able to compete against the best. These college coaches will be running this event, and they will interact and instruct on the court in real time. They will put you through college-level workouts, and they will provide you with invaluable experience to get you ready for your middle school, high school, and your Super League season. It's going to be from September 28th to the 29th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Cost is $225, and we will make sure that we send that link, but make sure that you hurry up because spots are filling fast. Final question I had for you, I mean, you're going to be a big part, integral part to growing this place as it is continuously growing. Where do you see this place a year from now?
Well, I see it continuing to get bigger and better. I think we had tryouts the other night, and usually tryouts, no kid who's on a team comes to those tryouts, and so we usually get about 40 kids. We had over 200, so I think the Lightning brand. What I see it as from where I came from, you know, we had so many kids go and play college basketball, and you look at the wall, you know, the sign out in front when you walk in. That was one thing I said, it has to be put up right away. You got to get that back right away, because you look at the guys and the girls who play Lightning basketball. They go and they play college basketball. They get opportunities to play college basketball, and I think that's what people want. And, people know as a coach who's traveled all over the country recruiting for 20 years, you know, people know Lightning. And, we want to get our top teams, our older teams, getting in front of as many college coaches as possible. So I think that's a big thing for me. We want to find the best coaches, and we want to put our players on a national stage. You know, we live in New York on a Broadway stage, and I think that's really important to sell to kids and parents. Hey, why Lightning? Well, you know, our history is tremendous. Our history shows we put guys and girls in college, but you know, we have to continue to get better. We have to continue to expand. We have to continue to find the best places to play and the best coaches to play for. And I think as we improve all those things, I think it'll really help us and just continue to build the Lightning, you know, the Island Garden brand, and to make this. I want this place to be the place for basketball. I want this to be where people come. Like, that's why I thought that New York High School Madness event was so cool. It was just, you know, high level basketball back at the Island Garden, and that's what I want to see. I know that's what my father wants to see. That's why all these people, we've hired so many new people. Who do a great job for us, and we want to really push to become the best. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to be united in that front of making this place as successful as can be.
We direct all referee complaints to you.
I know Rosemary called me up. I think I was at the beach on Sunday. I'm like, oh man, Rosemary's calling me up. It must be something serious.
The good thing is though that in the family, my brother is a Division I referee. So, I know when I used to get into fights with referees, I used to call him right away. And a lot of times he told me I was 100% wrong. And so that helped me. But, that's another group of people we forgot to acknowledge. I think the referees here, I mean, they work their butts off. And, you know, it wasn't always, you know, they had to feel, it was tough for them in terms of the pandemic. And, just to have guys, refereeing, you know, these guys love what they do. You know, I talked to referees here, and the coolest, the other night, you know, they were talking during tryouts. We had the refs here, and some of them were talking to the coaches saying, hey, you know, what, how can we help you? Like, what do you guys see from us? What do you guys need from us? And, you know, and here's what we need from you. And I think that's you know, that's one thing I learned as a college coach. We had these great referees that you play golf with, you go out for drinks with, and, you know, you talk with them so often. And one of the guys we had on our Zoom podcast was Mike Wood. You know, he was an ACC official for, I mean, he probably refereed Dr. James Naismith back in the day. But, you know, he was an ACC ref, Final Four ref. And the great thing about those guys, you learn about referees is that, you know, they want to do a good job. And we used to have referees, you know, big time guys come into practice and they'd explain to our guys, no, here's where that's a foul, you know, and it's a foul, you know, and, hey, Foxy, you can't do this during a game. You know, because that's showing that doesn't look good for us. You know, so you can't do. You know, so it's amazing the interactions and how much you can be as a coach. I was coached by the referees, and that really 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 helped me. You know, because you know you can, you know, all of a sudden you're uptight, you're stressed out, and you know you could be yelling at the refs, and they'd be like, you know, hey, just coach your team. Coach your team. Don't we're gonna work hard for you. You know, that kind of thing. So it was cool to see the other night at the tryouts. You know, the interaction between the referees and the coaches. So, you know, the referee coaches saying, "Hey, here's what we want from you," and the refs saying, "Okay, well, here's what we want from you." And I know you and your refs here do an incredible job with that. It's cool to see that that interaction.
Yeah, and I also be remiss to not mention Ernie Rudloff, who is the interpreter of Board 119 in Queens and also the head evaluator here, who does a tremendous job and, you know, reports to Jim and myself of who's doing well and, you know, who mm-hmm. can get more opportunities. So we thank you for all of those compliments with referees, and there's nothing better than having a referee in the family to talk it up.
He's good. He's good. He definitely tells you, hey, you were – I send them clips and you know, he says, "Hey, you could not be more wrong on this call." And I said, "All right, I guess I was wrong then."
Yeah, but I mean, that's what coaches do. Hey, right, you got to fight for your guys,
that's
man.
Right, that's right.
But I appreciate your time. Any final words you want to say before we part ways?
I look forward to you know, to seeing everybody this fall, this winter, and it's just great to have basketball back. It's great to see the Island Garden looking so good. It's great to have the Mac coming in at Mitchell Field. And, you know, it's just, I just want to get basketball. I'm sure everyone does, wants to get basketball going to, you know, to see those heydays that was in the, you know, back in the day that I got to listen to, you know, people like Coach McKillop tell me about all the time about how great basketball was. And, you know, it'd be great to have, you know, coaches, college coaches making a stop on Long Island in the boys and the girls. I know they do that a lot for the girls already, but, you know, coming to Long Island saying, hey, we want to get a Long Island player.
That sounds good. We're going to wrap it up right now. This is the Island Garden Podcast for Coach Jim Fox. This is Ralph the Ref. We're out of here. Peace. In the sunshine, where the days are longer, the nights are stronger than moonshine. You're going to go, I know.